I don't know if Nick's already recording this or if he already started recording. Okay, I was going to say a few things to the people here. I just want to know that about what happened in New Lebanon. The minor part was, as Linda having an accident, those types of things happen, and I'm just grateful that she's okay. We were asked to come there, and I was asked to preach some lessons that would be to more the area and to the congregation there, and so that's what I did. I taught some lessons about the gospel and teaching the gospel and encouragement in the gospel, and certainly I don't know about the rest of them. I hope that they were encouraged and built up and kind of given a little bit of a booster shot. But some of you came to give us a booster shot. Turned out that God took care of Mike and Gina on Wednesday so that they were able to be with us because Mike wasn't really planning on being there and his schedule got changed on Wednesday, so they came out to be with us and encourage that congregation there. And certainly that's the whole intent, because sometimes with congregations things tend to change. They had like four families move out, and so they're trying their best to reach out to the community. Had several visitors even on Wednesday besides those. And on Thursday we had pretty much a house full of people, including folks that were not Christians and were interested in the gospel and expressed interest afterwards. And they have a really good man working with them there and his wife, Bruce and Carol Hastings. Good group of people. I've known so many of them for so many years and love them dearly. And then on Friday night, was really encouraged. Came in and didn't look like we were going to have that many people. But then a couple of lambs showed up, kind of wandered in. Nobody brought them. And then I was amazed. Tom and Alicia came in. And I told Tom, I said, you know, if you don't get back, that second row there is going to eventually tilt this way because you need to balance that out. I said, them two women being together is not working. Somebody needs to keep them separate. And so you see today it's working out really well. There's like a whole area there where there's nobody in between. But let me just say, I know many of you would have loved to come and encourage the group there, and that would have been great. But it was aimed at the congregation there and the local community. That was the intent of this whole thing. And so I think that was accomplished, and God accomplished much good. Not because of me, but because of the people there and their desire to go out and teach. And I'm going to tell you something. They went out and they passed out a lot of flyers, and Bruce was talking about the fact that one of the ladies came. She's over eight in her 80s. And he was like, look, this is going to be very hard on you. And she said, no, not at all. I'm going to do this. We want to get the gospel out. So I'm going to say something that I said on Thursday night. I want you young people at this moment to pay really close attention to something I'm about to tell you. As I look around the room, there's some young people here today, and you look around the room and you see people who are not as young as they used to be. You see a Vivian, very difficult for her to walk in today, and sits down on the seat. And I made the point there that as you look around the room and you see people all in this audience who are up in age, and you think, well, that's just them. That's that old-fashioned doctrine. I said, absolutely not. That's a faith that is so strong that I don't care what they're going through, and I don't care how hard their life is, and I don't care what's happening to them at that moment. They're here. They're here because they want to be here, not because they have to be here. They want to be here. And I look around the room at all of you that are here, that are even older than me. And you just didn't wander in here today. You made a plan to be. And so you young people, you maintain your courage, you maintain your faith right till the end, and God will be pleased with you. With all of that said, ever seen one of these signs? Pretty amazing, isn't it? Free. That's just free. I love it. I mean, if there's one thing I always need, it's a vacation. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm always thinking about it. I don't seem to go that often, but I'd love to be on vacation, don't you? I mean, it's just something about that. We think about that, and we think, wow. And we look forward to them because it's a time we can be away. And all that. You ever thought about, or maybe somebody calls you on the phone, and they they call me and they go, Mr. Martin. Wow, somebody knows me. It's exciting, you know, because I know the minute they say that, this is not good. I know it up front. Well, Mr. Martin, we've got something for you. I'll tell you what, we've got you a free vacation. We got you a free vacation. And it's like, wow, wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like a free vacation? And of course, yeah, well, sure. I mean, you know, I'm all excited, right? I mean, who wouldn't want something like that for free? They're going to pay for everything. It's like, wow, it's just wonderful. Anybody ever get suspicious? You're thinking, wait just a second. We're saying this is free. Is it really? We know better, don't we? We know there's going to be a cost. It's either going to be time or money, right? We know there's something about this. And you start asking them questions, you ever notice how they avoid that up front? Give you all the good stuff and they just keep talking about that? And keep, yeah. And you know that, you ever notice how they keep you on the line if they're talking to you, or you go to one of those booths where that's happening? The question is, will it be worth it to us to pay the cost that is, it really is usually less than we would normally have to pay, isn't it? But is it going to be worth it? You can talk to Mike and Gina later. They've done some of the stuff that we've done, and ask them. See, it's all about the cost, isn't it? It might be money we don't have. Maybe they say, well, free, there's shipping and handling, or there's always something, isn't there? You know, there's going to be $295, but let me tell you what all that includes. It gets you 600 nights of something, or, you know, and you've got to arrange all of this, and but you got to do it at the dark of night in the middle of December and whatever. Or maybe it's time we don't have. Free vacation. How much does it cost? I got to thinking about this and I thought, spiritually, how much does it cost? You want this? Let me tell you what a vacation is. It's a period of suspension of work, study, or other activity. It's usually used for rest, recreation, or travel, or a recess or holiday. It actually started with them talking about recessing from political life, for the most part, believe it or not. But it's freedom or release from duty, business, or activity. Isn't that what we all want? People always looking forward to that day they don't have to. Spiritually speaking, are we looking forward to a time that we can have that? Revelation 14:13, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they shall rest from their labors and their works follow them. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Amazing, isn't it? Free offer. Let's look at the free offer part of this. Spiritually speaking, let me tell you what's free about our spiritual life. We can be free from sin. We don't have to be burdened by it anymore. We'll be getting away from the work of life. We can vacate, leave, or remove. It's all free. Free. How do I know this? Well, first of all, let's talk about how much sin costs. You know, if we get one of these vacations, somebody has to pay for it. Someone's paying it. The place isn't just free. For when you were slaves of sin, in Romans 6:20-23, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit then did you have then in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things are death, or is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end to everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Jesus said it is enslaving. Oh, sin will enslave you. And He can free you from that, He said. Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin, in John 8:34. But the debt, He said, is going to be paid. It's going to be paid. If you go back to 31 in this whole discussion, He said, if you abide in My Word, you're My disciples indeed. And you know the truth. and the truth shall make you free. Well, they said, well, we've never been in bondage to anyone. Now, I don't know why they said that. That was not a true statement, but they thought that was the case as far as sin was concerned. They were born free of sin. I've never understood their discussions and hypocrisy like what we were studying this morning in class. I've never understood how you can come up with two separate conclusions on the same thing. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You want to get rid of sin? You want to be vacated from it? You want to have it out of your life forever? It's free. Salvation. Salvation means taken away or delivered. You want your salvation? Well, in Revelation 7:10, where does it come from? Well, it comes from someone else, just like that free vacation. It came from someone else. In 7:10, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number. And then he said, they say, all of this group is saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's where it came from. I can't earn this. It's free. But it comes with some fine print. You ever notice that when you're getting ready to do one of those vacations, all of a sudden at the end, they can talk really fast and they can give you like 600 things you're going to have to do to get it free? Or maybe you have to sit down and go through some type of a spiel about this. It's reading the fine print. You better make sure if someone offers you something free that you know what the fine print's about. You see it all the time on television, don't you? We'll send this to you free for $12.95 shipping and handling. Free. Let me tell you about this one. 2 Timothy 3, you better read the fine print. And it is wonderful print about what we need to do. He talked to Timothy, he said, you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He said, Timothy, you knew those Old Testament Scriptures. You knew what they said about the Christ. And now you're understanding the New Testament Scriptures and you know a lot, because all Scripture, either old or new, is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. You better understand what goes with this. When we read about this, we better understand it. You know what a lot of people think? They think it's just free. They do nothing. They don't read. But it's been offered to everyone. This is an offer that is not just Abe Martin. You ever had one of those? Well, we're just especially to you, Abe. And they got you on there and they got you hooked, right? Because they picked me out of how many? 350 million people. They picked me. Really? I mean, this is to everyone, though. In 2:11 through 14, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify from Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. It is obtained through Him. This freedom, this salvation comes through Jesus Christ and only through Him. There is no other way, as Cody talked about this morning. It's going to be Him or nothing. It's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, He would say. It is strictly through Him that we can gain our salvation. In 1 Thessalonians 5, as He wrote the church there, He said to them, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. But it's based on our belief. In 1 Peter 1, it's a matter of what do you believe, Abe? Well, I listen to that spiel that they give us sometimes, and there's actually been times that I will admit that we have taken them up on their offer. Anybody in this room ever done that? Don't raise your hand. I don't need to know. But it's one of those things where we think, well, all I have to do, say for instance, is you'll need to spend maybe an hour to an hour and a half. Whoever told that one, I'll never know. And you just need to sit down and let us tell you about something. And you can have this for free. Isn't that very similar to what we do spiritually? You see, do I really believe them on that? Will I sit down and listen to their spiel so I can get my vacation? 6-9 of 1 Peter 1. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, as I told you to look around the room, young people, and look at a lot of these older people whose faith is still strong, still going. They believe in this. They believe they will actually get this free offer of salvation eternally. They believe it, and I do too. Much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Though now you do see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It is a gift. A gift is always paid by somebody else, not by you. That is indeed, when they make that offer, there is a gift involved in that. The question is, are you willing to do whatever it takes to get whatever it is they're willing to give you? And you better, in earthly life, you better make sure that you understand what that is. It was Christ's death, in this case. It was Christ, or in Romans 5. A study of this shows us that this all started with Adam and Eve. Of course, Eve was the original sinner, but he just uses man there, Adam. So as they sinned, we do not inherit their sin. We inherit some of the consequences of it, but we would have done exactly the same thing. So he makes this point here that that's the case. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come. Proving that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God when they reach a certain age. Everyone. We don't blame it on Adam. We blame it on ourselves. We look at ourselves in the mirror and we understand that it took Christ's death. As he goes through this, he says about the gift, the free gift, in verse 15, it's free. He gave himself freely. God gave him freely. There was no cost involved there. It was given. This gift, as he goes on down, he talks about the one man's disobedience by one man's obedience. The gift was given. A gift. Freely given. In 1 Timothy 2, everything about this gift is free. In 1 Timothy 2, 5-7, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus, in earthly form, he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ and I'm not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. And it does come from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or shadow made by turning. He's a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. It comes from Him. Why? Because endless, marvelous grace. When we think about our salvation and we think about how we have received this gift, the Bible says clearly that it all came from Him. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Seemingly then, there's nothing we have to do. Well, we're going to find out that's not true. And that's not what he's saying here. He's saying no matter how hard I work, I can never earn this. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And you know the interesting thing about this? Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him. He says, yes, Abe, it is His grace. Don't ever lose sight of that. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do to come to obedience. Don't ever think it's due to the fact that you took advantage of this gift. But you do need to do that if you want the gift. And then the vacation. And there we are. We have our freedom. We're removed from all the labor and toil that we're used to. We put up the cell phone, we put the computer aside, and there we are, just relaxing, right? We don't think anything about work anymore. We don't think anything about our responsibilities at home anymore. Maybe not true. But that's what it's intended to be, isn't it? But see, this one was planned by God. This vacation, free from toil, free from labor, rest eternally, was prepared by God before time began in Titus 1, verse 2. It was planned down to the minute. There was no mistakes in this. There wasn't any chance of failure. God, the great planner, put it all together. Jesus, the Word, executed it perfectly. The Holy Spirit then put it into action. It worked perfectly, to the minute, exactly the way God planned before time began. Even allowing human beings to do whatever they wanted to do. Never forced one of them to do His will. In Galatians 4, 4 through 7, when the fullness of the time had come. How did God know? Because it was a plan. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. He's making a point to these Jews, we got adopted too. Don't ever look out and think we're greater than anybody else. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The reservation has been made by someone else. God made it so that when He pre-planned all of this, anyone that would obey His will has a place reserved in heaven. It is a place where every one of us should want to go after this life is over. In 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And how many of us waiting for some physical vacation and maybe one of those free ones have just been anticipating that and have this hope that everything's going to be exactly like they said it was and we're going to walk in there and just have a really wonderful time. That's what we do, isn't it? Well, this is better. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Have you ever gone somewhere and you get there and you say, well, I've got a reservation. And they say, we can't find it. Can't find it. Sorry, Mr. Martin, I don't know who was supposed to have made this for you, and you've got the number and you've got everything, but we just don't have that. Well, that's not going to happen here. Not going to happen. God doesn't make those mistakes. Why? Because He knows us. Who are kept by the power of God, how? Through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And the beauty of this is it's never ending. See, I don't have to come back to work. Once I have everlasting life, I'm through. That's it. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul talked about this, and he talked about the beauty of what's been prepared. And he talked about the fact that all of us have these old physical tents, as we discussed, that get older, that decay, that start going away. And the older we get, the more seemingly we need that time of rest. In 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because We want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. You know, you might get there on a physical vacation and there's no guarantees. Things just didn't work out the way you thought. We have a written guarantee right here. It's guaranteed. And the Spirit made sure that it's written down so we can all understand it. And He wants everyone to spend it with Him. As He goes down through this, He clearly says, we want to be present with the Lord in verse 8. We're confident that if we're absent from the body, we can be present with the Lord. Isn't that what we all want, to be with our Lord and Savior eternally? Any free vacation means someone's paying for it. It just does not happen any other way. I don't care what we might think or what we might do. They're the ones that did all the work. When you get there, they fix the room for you. They got everything prepared, and there you go. You go right. You have whatever it is they have offered you. Like they said, if they kept their word. You see, they've made the offer to let us use what belongs to them. Then they expect us to do whatever is necessary on our part to take advantage of the offer. Now, if we understand that in this life, why don't we get it in spiritual life that it's identical to that? If we think about life and we think about our spiritual life, is there a cost? Well, we're going to talk about it in the second lesson about the cost. When something is free, there's still something that you have to do to accept it. And I will tell you today, if you're not a Christian, think seriously about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The good news about Him, the death, burial, and resurrection. The good news about Him is that if you understand that, then you become a child of His by believing in Him, confessing Him, repenting of your sins and turning to Him, and then being immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And as a Christian, we still have to maintain that and still do what God wants us to get that grace of His. If you have any needs, we certainly would be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?